Hi, everyone. As Elder was reading the marriage bans, I was asking myself why we call them marriage bans. You know, are we banning marriage in church? Like, there should it be like a marriage announcement, but marriage ban? Anyway, today's JPRC Sunday. And in 2016, the Aga Khan University and an institution called the East African Institute, they did a survey on Kenyan youth and governance. And in that survey, it was youth between the ages of 18 to 25 or 18 to 30, I'm not very sure. But the thing was this. Of the findings, they said 50% of us, because I assume a lot of us are in that bracket here, don't mind giving a bribe. 50% of us are okay with getting rich via corruption, as long as you don't get caught, you know. It showed 30% actually encourage it. And these are young people. These are not CEOs of companies and doing big things. Okay, they are doing big things in their life, but relatively speaking. Yeah? So the question that dawns on us is this. Because when they were also interviewed, they said their values, 85% of them says their values comes from their faith. See, when you have a population of 85% whose value comes from their faith, but 50% of young people are willing to give a bribe here and there for things to do well and don't mind getting rich through corruption. And it's not, I'm not talking about 50% of people out there. Like, I'm talking about if 85% of us draw our value from faith, I think we would be in that bracket, yes? And so 50% of probably us in the congregation would not mind giving a bribe. Probably we have. I don't know. I'm not here to send you to sulfur and brimstone for giving bribes and doing like that. But anyway, as he said, my name is Ty. That's what people call me. But between Monday and Friday, my name is Anthony Gashira. I work for the National Council of Churches of Kenya. I'm a lawyer, but I do governance work for them. And so today, as we engage, I'm going to have specialists in this field. Eh? People who know what JPRC does, how we can get involved, and we are going to have a genuine discussion. Eh? As they speak, I'm going to. If you have a question, you can just keep it, and then we'll go around, and they can answer questions. This will be a Q&A session. Okay. If you want to ask, is it okay if I give bribe but then I tithe as well? Is it like it's a give and take? I gave to Caesar, then I gave to God. You know, so technically it's not so bad. Or as the discussion continues, or I feel helpless. You know, like I don't know. My country looks like it's a mess. There's corruption every day, and I feel young. And what can I do? Will I just watch and do nothing? You know, there's something about helplessness that just kills us. Eh? And so I'm going to invite two people here. They'll come, they'll say their names, and then they'll give us a good thing about JPRC. So, Wakili, you guys just come. And then we'll have a candid discussion on what JPRC does. Should I have like a on the bench voice? Oh yeah, here we are, there we go. So you tell us your name, Wakili, and then you okay, I love Jeff Koinange. Tell us who you are and maybe a brief of what JPRC is, so that you can demystify. Is it just another committee of PCA? You know, PCA, we are just known for committees. You know, like if a bomb blasts, if we were all bombed today here, I tell you tomorrow we would meet to form a committee to investigate the bombing, because we are Presbyterian and we love committees. So just tell us, what is JPRC? And just first tell us who you guys are and what you want and what it is that you stand for as people.
Thank you, Ty. God is good. And all the time. First of all, I want to start with a disclaimer. Ty has said he's calling specialists. If Elder Gasheshe and Gavenya were to get word to our chaplain that people are calling themselves experts, I think we'll be deported from this church. So we are not specialists. We are here to share tips and experiences that have helped me and Mercy in our quest to be good leaders. We are not yet there. We are learning. We are walking. And we hope that whatever we share will go a long way in assisting us become good leaders. My name is Samuel Derito. I'm an advocate running a partnership here in town. Above that, I'm in JPLC not because I'm an advocate, but because I love dispute resolution. Now, law has nothing much to do with dispute resolution, but mostly I also do arbitration and mediation, both training and practicing. You've seen there's something about the intimation said meditation. We don't do meditation in Presbyterian church. It's mediation training. They are different. And so, that's what I do.
Thank you. Praise God, church. My name is Mercy Kidara. Yes, thank you for the disclaimer. We are not specialists. We are learning also. So today we are going to share on some of the aspects of JPRC. Just a background, I'm a clinical psychologist working for Medicines and Frontiers, or Doctors Beyond Borders. I work in Mathare, where we have a lot of conflict and violence, and in most of the conflicts are about sexual and gender-based violence. So I'll just be sharing a little bit on what we see and how we as the young people can be able to be trailblazers in helping solve these conflicts. I hope we'll share, and at the end of the day, we will make an impact in society. Thank you.
People maybe out here is wondering, so what is this creature? What is this JPRC? Is it Juice Presence and Reconciliation Commission? Or what is JPRC?
Yes, why we are saying we are not experts is that because, by the way, Mercy is my boss. She's the vice chair of the JPRC of St. Andrew's Parish, and I'm just the vice secretary. And another thing is that we are 2 weeks old in that committee. We joined JPRC 2 weeks ago, and they found it fit to tell us to come and talk with the youth about JPRC. So JPRC, as you see from your bulletin, if those of you got a bulletin, on the first page, it tells you what JPRC is, and you'll be able to go and go through it, look at it. But we are founded on our church constitution, which is called the Practice and Procedure. You'll find there. And the proper name is actually not Justice, Peace, and Reconciliation Committee. It is the Committee on Justice, Peace, and Reconciliation. So it's the other way around. So one thing I would want to say is that if you look at, there's a slide that is supposed to come up. As I told you, we are not experts. It was there. But if you look at the mission and the vision and the motto of JPRC, you find that the mission is to work with communities, churches, and institutions in order to avert, transform, mediate, and resolve conflicts in our society. And one of the things that we like to demystify is to say that the part of JPRC that has anything to do with law is about 10%. The rest is about resolving disputes. And every day you resolve disputes. Someone will tell you the best dispute resolvers are those watches. Pastor and I came at the same time in the morning. So you fight, there is one parking slot with a shade and the other one is on the sun. And we start fighting for it. That guy who is a watchman who is not trained can resolve that dispute. And they do it every day. You fight others that... those for you who go to hair salons or barbershops, the best dispute resolvers are those guys who work on your hair or on your head, and yet they have no formal training. When you're on the road, you say, I have the right of way, but you see somebody else is in a hurry, and you excuse them and they go. You avert disaster, you avert an accident. You've just resolved a dispute. So dispute resolution and JPRC is not about law. I was joking with Ty that it's associated with gray-haired lawyers. It is not. So we are here as part of our talk to tell the youth that come and interact with JPRC, participate, and then start resolving disputes in those areas. There's supposed to be a mission statement, which I will not read. I think we'll email it to the pastor and he can share it, but says that we intend to run activities through the year, and those activities are geared towards interacting with our community here in church first before we can go out there. We are told charity begins at home. So we must, first of all, ourselves learn to walk before we can go and start running out there. So JPLC is basically the dispute resolution arm of our church. Some even call it the political arm. We are supposed to be the ones interacting with policymakers and voice the concerns of the church when it comes to government policy and all that. But today we are not here to talk about JPLC. The youth suggested that they would want JPLC to give a talk, an interactive talk about governance, the role of youth. It was said that our country is seen to be disintegrating in matters of governance. We have a wonderful chapter 6 of the Constitution, and we thought it was the cure all for all the issues. But then you find that when that chapter 6 was applied before the August 8 elections, we were told about 180 people who had given their names to run for different political offices were declared unfit under Chapter 6 of the Constitution to vie for those offices. But that was the Kenya, is it called, the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission said that 180 of them could not run for office. But fast forward to today, those 180 are in office. They are governors, they are senators, they are MPs, and running powerful committees and big budgets. So what transpired between what happened at EACC and Anniversary Towers here? And I get ashamed that IEBC offices are next to our church. Do we interact with them and ask them what happened when EACC said these people can't run, yet today they are in leadership? So our talk today, Mercy is going to look at governance, what's wrong, and where the youth can come and get involved. But for me, it's sort of to build a foundation for what Mercy is coming to say by telling you that, first of all, there is a slogan that we use in one of the organizations that I serve called the Chartered Institute of Arbitrators, and the motto is we evolve to resolve. So before the youth can get in and tell Pastor Apollo, move, you're not doing it right, I want to be the youth director now, you must evolve before you resolve whatever it is that is ailing our society. And there is an illustration. There is that ladder, it's called Loja Hart's Ladder of Young People's Participation. Now, I don't know whether that can be magnified, and you remove the next slide. Is it me who did that or them? It's supposed to be one slide at a time, but there's no problem. So when you look at that ladder, it teaches you the steps and it tells you how to do it. When you look at things like, if you can look at somebody like Usain Bolt, he's undoubtedly the greatest sprinter of all times. But what you learn about him is that to run those 8 seconds, he prepares for about 240 days of that year. So you find that preparation is more important than doing. So for you to be a leader, it is that one opportunity. So how prepared are you for that one opportunity? So you must be prepared. And I think we'll share these slides later, but you can see that that ladder is showing you that you start from being out there, from being patronized and told what to do. Then eventually you get involved. You share your ideas, which are looked at by those who are older than you, and then those ideas are crystallized by those who's been there before. And eventually, they let you now run the show. So leadership is not waking up and saying, things are happening wrong in Kenya, and we need to change this. And tomorrow, if you look at the praise team that was here, I had wonderful voices, I had beautiful sound. You don't walk in that door and say, tomorrow, you're not doing the guitar, it's me who is doing it. So regardless of how good you are, you must come and infuse yourself, evolve to resolve. So if you hear he is getting the keys wrong and you know you can get it right, you don't grab it from me because you're now festering a conflict. You first of all come and join them, work with them, and eventually tell the brother that I think you're getting that key wrong. And then he's able to say, how do I do it? And you learn through that. The second thing that I wanted to talk about is this adage that is told that the youth are the leaders of tomorrow. If you look at the independence cabinet of Kenya, the Mwai Kibakis and Kianos and Matibas and those guys, most of them were in their late 20s and early 30s when they became cabinet ministers to run the first government after colonialism. But now when you look at today, it's a case of recycling. You're getting guys who've retired from other service to become the cabinet secretaries and others. Does it mean that the youth are unfit to lead? Why is it perceived by the executive and others that you don't have the capability to lead? And that is why we are saying that you must evolve first before you get to leadership. Those slides are failing us, but one of the slides that I wanted to share with you is a saying by Martin Luther King, where he was saying that if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But it says, don't just sit there, do something. So when you talk about flying, I would like to look at it as the pinnacle of leadership, those who are flying. But we can't all be there. We have one president, we can't have two presidents. You have one CEO, you can't have two CEOs. So to be the CEO is flying, if we look at that illustration. So it's saying that if you can't fly, then walk. If you can't walk, crawl. So do something in your space of leadership before you can be made the leader. You don't have to sit, wait, and complain and say that I deserve to be the leader, yet you're doing nothing at your level of leadership. There is another saying, I don't know by who, but I hear it. It says that great leaders have create or inspire leaders, and mediocre people who call themselves leaders have followers. So I'm not saying anything about Instagram and Facebook. I know they use the word follow to show those people who are behind you. But even if you look at Jesus, when he was going away, his disciples, and that's why we call them disciples, were leaders. They are not really his followers. So if you hear that version of the Bible that talks about followers, these people are actual leaders because when Jesus left, they stepped into his, you know, big shoes and continued doing the work that we're doing. So Jesus trained and inspired leaders. So you find that when you look at stage one, young people are manipulated. This is what we do to our kids. You give them a lollipop so that they can do what you want them to do. Then you move from that stage, they become a decoration, sort of. Kababa na kamama. And, you know, that is another stage. Then from there, they are tokenized. Tokenized is do the dishes and I'll do that. Do this, do your homework and we'll go swimming and things like that. Yet they are supposed to be doing that chore in the first place. Then from there, they are assigned and informed. You're told, do A, B, C, D, and I'll come and inspect what it is that you're doing. Now, up to level four, there is no much involvement of your intellect as a young person. It is now from level five, you've been through all that, you see that you're now being consulted and informed. That is the position where now your parents or your teachers start asking you, what do you think we should do about this? What do you think we should do about that? Then from there, you go to level 6, where the adult initiates something and you share the decisions with the young people, which is, think, is what we are doing at this level of this service, because pastor spoke to the youth and asked them, what would you want to discuss about? And then he made them own the discussion and the decision that they are making. Then at level 7, young people need an initiate action. So at level 7 is where now Ty and his group don't rely on pastor to ask them, what do you want? They come and tell pastor, we want to do this. He looks at it and says, let's do it. Then finally, young people and adults share decision making. So it now no longer to him. They come, they initiate something, discuss it within themselves, then come and tell pastor, we have decided. So it is that at that 8th level that we say that the youth has become a leader. But you can see the progression of leadership all through. If we can move to the next slide. So basically what we are saying, and this is now ground setting for what Mercy is coming to talk about, you find PowerPoint, I don't know whether the slide can move. Yes, so that is what I was telling you about, and we've already spoken about this, illustrating that you have to keep moving, regardless of the position that you're in. If you can go to the next slide. If you look at the next slide, we are told, the Bible tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. And that quote tells you that you are given this life because you are strong enough to live it. We are having very many cases of youth suicides, and they have become so rampant. And it is getting to this stage because people don't believe in themselves. People don't believe that they have the capacity to do anything. People are used to what we were talking about, tokenism. They want to do something, to be rewarded for whatever they do, and they're asking, what can my parent, my country do for me, instead of asking the other way around. Next slide. So there's a quote by a big man who we brag is one of us, and I want you to read it, because he said, change will not come if we wait for some other person or some other time. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the change that we seek. And this is a slogan that he used to rally the youth for the first time in the 300-year history of American politics. The youth used to shun participating in politics. But Barack Obama was put in office by the youth who believed in him. Next slide. Now, from there, I want us to look at the first letter of Timothy 4, chapter 12. It says that, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, your faith, and purity. And this is the sort of biblical foundation that as JPLC we are saying to the youth, that at whatever level of the ladder that you're in, I believe most of us could now be at level 6 heading to 8. We are no longer in tokenism and those things. So in that level that you're in, if you're playing the guitar, if you're the one doing intimations, if you're the one doing this and other thing, even in your workplaces for those who are employed, even in your school for those who are in school, it is for you to look at 1 Timothy. And whatever you do, let it reflect. I'm in a WhatsApp group of guys we went to college with. And depending on the political divide, and it has been happening even national TV, we interpret the same provision of law or the constitution differently because of the political divide. That is what we would call a professional or intellectual dishonesty. So as a Christian, when you're sitting in such a group, do you keep quiet or do you call out the dishonest person and tell them, can we be honest with ourselves as we speak? So what I'm here to tell you is that we must evolve before we can resolve. So Mercy is going to talk about governance. She's going to talk about leadership. What is wrong? What can be done? So for me, it was sort of setting the foundation and telling the youth that they are not the leaders of tomorrow, they are the leaders of today and tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Said evolve, so we, before we resolve. It reminds me of those success cards, you know, the ones you used to get, remember, aspire to inspire before you expire. Like, I'm not just me who got those ones. Okay, yeah, see.
Okay, thank you so much. This week as JPRC, we have our theme has been, will our anchor hold as a nation? Okay. I hope last Sunday you got the bulletin and had a look at that. And the question has been, what is making the anchor hold or not hold? Okay. So as the youth, I'm lucky to be a youth because I have a role in this. Looking back and seeing, what have I done to let the anchor sink? Okay. Or what am I doing to ensure the anchor is still holding? And what will I do in the future to ensure that this anchor keeps strong? Okay. So, we are looking at governance and institutions. We are saying that at the moment, when we look at things in our country, things are not so well, okay? It's an honest opinion. Those of who hold the same opinion, please, I, okay? Yeah, things are not so well, okay? We might have been contributors, okay, as Christians, okay? What sins of omission and commission might we have committed to contribute to this opinion, okay? So, when we look at the issue of governance is a process. It's a decision-making process with the use of public resources that we have, okay, to contribute to the well-being of the society. And the institutions that we have are rules of law governing the behavior of the society, okay? Name it, any institution that you're aware of, look at it, okay? It's either using the public resources that we have, okay, to help us better, or it's checking our behaviors as a society, okay? So when we combine governance and institutions, this affects the growth and performance of a society. So how is performance evaluated or manifested in our society? Now, today I will tend not to look at the so positive side because we can say Kenya as a country has come from somewhere, and so far we are somewhere and we are hoping to get somewhere. But what are some of the issues that bad governance has led us into? Okay, we can name them. They are on our fingertips. Corruption, isn't it? Okay. Lack of dignity for human rights, okay? Said we can be deported anytime, okay? From your own country, okay? Ineffective rules of law, okay? And institutions. Poor enforcement of law. Lack of accountability of our tax money, right? Yeah. Do you know where your taxes go to? Do you follow up and know where is your money going to? Or you don't care, okay? Now, political instability, all this is what we can see that has led to the bad governance and lack of accountability for institutions. So we are saying, we are demystifying the thing that, the saying that the youth are the change, are the leaders of tomorrow. No, we are not the leaders of tomorrow. We are the ones who initiate change right now. Today, okay? So for me, today is that we see how do I begin to be the change maker, okay? So that to impact. Now, there are a few things that we need to have a self-check, okay? Now, as a youth, do you know your rights? Maybe this is not the time for Q&A, but do you know your rights as a youth? Are you aware of your rights? Yes? Because we have rights, okay? From civil rights, okay? Right to participation, okay? We can voice our ideas, okay? I can walk to the office of our MCA and tell him, no, the road from my house, as I go to work, there is a pothole there, and he should listen to me. That's my right, okay? Regardless whether I pay tax or not, whether I'm in school or not, but I have a right, okay? So it's a challenge to us as the youth. Are we aware of our rights? Okay? Beginning of knowing your rights is the beginning of finding solutions. Okay? So how will you know your rights? Okay? Is to learn about the local issues. Most of the youth do not want to be associated with politics. Okay? 7 p.m. news, no youth is watching. 9 o'clock news, no one is watching. Is it true? Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. How many of us are watching news? See the majority? Okay? How many of us listen to radio news? Because you find that radio news come at intervals, okay? Yeah? Very short, okay? But they wrap up everything that is happening in our country, okay? Yes. How many of us listen to our vernacular radios and get to know what is happening uko mashinani? I see the people who are lifting their hands are not so youth. It's okay. Okay? So, you know your rights, okay? You're in touch with your local issues, okay? Because those local issues are the ones that are going to scale up and become society issues, okay? And go to national level, okay? So before we speak at national level, or serikali, sijui nini, okay? We are aware of what is happening, you know your rights, and now you're able to speak up, okay? Now, speaking up is our right, and we have the forums to speak up, okay? Be it online and offline, okay? Use of hashtags. What is trending? Are you aware what is trending today? What hashtag is trending today? Pasi, can I shout out what you have said? What hashtags are trending, okay? Yet we have that platform as the youth to use it to change the leadership and the governance of our country, okay? Yeah, the Twitter is very powerful, okay? Instagram, whatever form you're going to use, okay, is a way of speaking up, okay? If we opened up your Facebook page, what are we going to see as a Christian? Okay? We are not judging anybody, okay? But it's just a fact. We as the youth, what are we able to do? Okay? There are other means, other creative ways, okay? To be active and to promote good governance and leadership, okay? The youth are known for their active ways. For example, use of drama, use of dance, okay? Street art. Where I work in Mathare, I see a lot of this. I see a lot of creativity. Even through sports, there's a lot of violence going on. But people have been able to come together. They've been able to use their talents for better ways. Okay? One of the ways that we use is the use of the community, having community forums where the youth come and engage and ask themselves, where is the issue? Okay, having youth forums. How many of us are in a youth initiative program as a youth? not charmers. I'm not talking about charmers, but initiatives. I see a hand, okay? So we can join forces, okay? If I'm not able to speak up alone, if I'm not able to use the hashtag, I can join my colleagues here and we do something. This is a challenge to me, okay? Because I'm not in one, but I'm hoping to join one very soon, tomorrow. Hopefully, but these are forums of change as the youth, so that we not only complain, but we're also doing something to create the change that we need, okay? So, wherever your talent is, please make good use of it. Join a forum that has other talents and make change with it. Now, this is critical because this is what has been making most of the youths lead in bad governance. Okay, when we as the youths are using negative coping mechanisms, when we are engaging in negative vices, okay, it leads to bad vices. We complain about drug use, substance use, but who is using these things? Yes? It's the youth, isn't it? Tai talked about corruption, okay? The youth have no time. Okay? When you're caught by the police, you have no time to appear in court and all this. Let me just give out the 1,000 bob, and I sort this thing out very fast. Because I don't want it to go, I don't want all that process, okay? So we are the leaders in corruption. Not even the old folks. They are not there. Believe you me. Okay? The survey that Tai talked about shown that the youth are very impatient. They are not willing to go through the full length, okay? So they are the ones who are there. Ignorance, okay? We are not active in trying to find out things. I didn't know. That's the excuse. Oh, you mean that's how it is? No, I didn't know. Okay? We are ignorant. I included, we are ignorant, okay? Stigma and discrimination. We are the leaders of this, okay? We are the first to stigmatize, to discriminate other people, okay? Be it on social grounds, okay? So this is something that we, the youth, can turn it around and use it to advocate, okay? Instead of stigmatizing, instead of discriminating a certain group, okay, we could be vocal in this. One of the other things that maybe leads to conflicts, we are talking about conflicts, is the frustrations the youth are going through. The youth find that I don't have a job, I didn't go to school, I didn't school well, and all this, and they find that I will face my frustrations maybe through violence, okay? I'm stressed up, I can take a little bit of alcohol, I can do this, okay, because of the frustrations. But one of the things that would help us even hold those positions that we are regarding to be positions that are not maybe where we would, we are saying the old folks have taken up the positions and they are, the wamekwamilia hapo, okay, is through volunteering, okay? Volunteer in an organization, volunteer in an institution where your capability, not only academic, but behavioral or capacity would be seen. And as I wrap up, we want to be good role models. Yeah, this can be a way whereby the youth will be able to bring change, okay? We are saying change begins with you, so if you are a role model, somebody is going to emulate you, okay? And it's going to be a cycle until we get to the end product where we want to be. Thank you.
How many are finding this discussion helpful? As many of the opinions say aye.
Aye.
I feel bad that the laws of our land are decided upon by how loud men can be. But anyway, I mean, it's 2018. So we're going to go to the next part where we're going to take a few questions. So I'll take maximum of 4 questions for now, and then they'll answer them quickly. Because Yeah, four questions. If you have a question, just answer. Just raise your hand, and then the microphone will come to you. Yeah. As they do so, Mio, I also have a question. Majority of youth are very apathetic towards politics, you know, like and governance processes. Like, you know, me, I don't have time. Me, those guys, I know they just want to eat. Now me, you know, like there's a me attitude about it, because governance processes, like. We voted for 6 people, president, MCA, governor, senator, women rep, MP. But we don't even know what they do. I don't know how to access my MCA. How do I engage in public participation? By the way, just raise your hand, the microphone will be getting to you. How do I engage in public participation? Yeah, just briefly tell us, how can I access my elected member of parliament? Or whoever, elected member of... my MCA, my senator, my women rep, even though I'm not a woman, how do I access them?
And by the way, it's not just a question. We said we are here to learn, we are not experts. So anybody with a comment, anybody who disagrees with Mercy or myself, just tell us. About accessing those people, they have offices, but it might be hard to reach them. What I know is that what you're saying, using technology for the better. The phone you're holding can be an office. Those social media platforms, even if some of them don't run it, it is, they access it. And it, I've known, you remember that woman rep, I think it's Kiambu, who made a comment on TV, but we didn't have to go to her office to say that what she said was wrong. It was social media that made her come and apologize and said, I knew what salary I was getting, and I'm sorry for saying the things I said. So, as we said in that ladder, use the resource that you have. Don't go and look for the offices. You might never know where it is. Use the resource that you have to bring the change that you want. And finally, also, when Mary said, do you know your rights? One thing that I always say is that rights come with a corresponding duty called an obligation. So don't just say that you have a right and you're not ready to take the obligation.
Another question I wanted to ask. How can we help our Christians at a time whereby police na kusimamisha anataka umpatie bribe, and yet you are not supposed to give a bribe. You are supposed to say no. Kama amekushika na makosa, wacha tuende, nijue makosa yangu ni nini. How can we help Christians so that we fight this issue called corruption, because it's a disease to our country?
Thank you. We are saying that it has to be an initiative that is beginning with you. Okay, you're the one who has to say no. Okay, I've talked about impatience. Okay, that I am not patient enough to go and wait for the full process. So I want the shortcut in that I'm going to cut this here. Okay, so one. As you are right, is that you have to know why are you being, what wrong, okay? Because the police can actually tell you your tire is old, okay? Very, very, you know, excuses that don't hold water, okay? So you have to know, okay, as a motorist, what are your rights, okay? What then, from there, you can hold him accountable, okay? And know what are the penalties, okay? That's where ignorance comes in, that I didn't know, okay? Then you hold him accountable by knowing that these are your rights, okay, as a motorist, and you are accountable for this, okay? If for sure you've been held on the wrong, okay, then you as a Christian, you know that I should go the full way, okay? And then that's a learning point, that tomorrow I shall not do this, okay?
And again, before you even get there, why are you being arrested? You know that you're supposed to do 30 kilometers per hour in town, not 60. You know you're supposed, there's a stretch that you do 50. The first thing you ask the other fellow, kuna speed ganuko? Impatience. So if you're supposed to do 50, nobody will arrest you. And if they arrest you, you're ready to go and start and say, I was doing 49. And finally, when you go to that court, there are human beings seated behind that desk. Even in the police station, one of the things that people do not know is that a traffic officer or any police officer is allowed by law to pardon you. So be taken to that person who is in charge of that section and you say, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was doing this. If they insist on going, the magistrate will still forgive you. There are people who misuse. If you did, go and read Matthew 5:25-26. There are people who use that to tell Christians that the Bible tells you to sort out your problems with the accuser before you reach to the judge, because the judge will put you in until you pay the debt. So don't do the wrong thing. And if it happens without knowing, you don't know your tire is supposed to be this number of inches, I don't know the headlight, the taillight, just go and apologize. And whoever has arrested you, if they are not willing to take the apology, somebody there is willing. You go with an expired insurance sticker. It is sufficient to go to court and say, ni kweli jana sikuwa nayo, but I immediately called. I had forgotten. I called, now I have it. You are told, go and see no more. There is no fine. So do the right thing, and if you are caught on the wrong side, do the right thing, and it will still be sorted out without giving a bribe. Thank you.
I think we can close that session, unless there was a question. Someone had a question that was not attended to. And in doing so, I'd really like, you said the judge would say, go and see no more. You know, like police say the same thing, but in a bit different language. As a young man in Nairobi, I have come across them once in a while. So I think we need to give them a clap. They've done a good job. Thanks for having seats. Wait. Someone has a question.
Thank you very much. Just wanted to say thank you for that session. One of the problems we find is that in our church, we have a lot of useful services. We have JPRC, we have PCMF, we have Women's Guild, we have many, more than 20 services that we can get. But unfortunately, very few of us access those. So we remain ignorant even when we have all this. When mediation came and the training is being done here, I don't think more than 20 people or more than thousands here do participate. So the comment is that we need to be aware. This is 2018. I need to be aware of what's available in a church and make sure that you get to know. Some people just go from Sunday to next Sunday, come here and go away. I don't know how many people come here between the week. I don't think it's right for a member of a congregation like this comes and appears on a Sunday and goes away and says, I belong there. You don't. The only way you can belong is getting involved. I liked that very much. And I would like to challenge all the people in this service that you need to make sure that between the Sundays, you get involved in something, either to serve or to learn. This is where we go wrong. We see some people so ignorant. For example, men, PCMF, on Thursday we meet for prayers, only about 40 come out of all these thousands. And if you ask them what's happening, they don't know. We do a lot of good work, so it's a challenge. And to thank you very much, because you have made us to see we are so ignorant of the very things that are available for us here. Let's get involved, each one of us. If you belong to this one, and you only come on Sunday and go away, you don't belong in reality. You need to get involved in something. Find out what is there. Talk to your elder, the deacons, and then make sure in the middle of the week something is done. Then that's complete. But if it is a Sunday Christian, there's a lot we are missing.
Okay, let's give a clap.